All right, good morning. First of all, let me say that y'all been wondering and when I'm going to step down and let Brother Terry come up here again. That's going to be the 23rd, brother. Looking forward to that. Brother Terry's going to be continuing his lessons. He started there on the dangers of Calvinism. I appreciate you doing that, brother. Thank you so much. And I don't know if you had a chance to look at your bulletin yet, but I noticed in our bulletin, Brother Roger, we're still 2 months out on our mission giving, and we got $555,000 gone to the work of the Lord already this year through our missions and faith promise giving. God's been faithful, I'd say. Yes. Amen. I'd say God has done His part. Amen. And thank you for being faithful to give as God blesses. So we're going to be in the book of Jude to start today. This will be the last time I probably say that, but we're going to start there, finish this book, and use the thought there in verses 22 and 23 to start into our next subject here today, which is based on scriptural and biblical evangelism. So let's start with a little bit of review in verse 20. It says, now you remember that the subject of this has been contending for the faith, right? And so we saw that everywhere really from verse 5 all the way to verse 19 has been about apostate teachers and about how God's dealt with apostasy in the past. And then he gets to verse 20 and he says, but. So we know he's changing his emphasis here, and he's changing who he's really speaking about. And so now the emphasis comes to us, and back, of course, where it always should be, no matter what, is on him. And so look at verse 20. It says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We looked at that last week, and we said, how do we build our faith? Well, we saw over in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. So we know that to build up our faith, we've got to be in the Word of God, and we've got to be hearing the Word of God. And that means hearing it preached, reading it yourself, and hearing it as you read it. And by the way, just as a tip, when you have opportunity, you should think about reading your Bible out loud to yourself. It does good. It actually does better. You remember more of it. You hear it, you read it, and it helps me when I do that. So there's a thought, okay? So building up our most holy faith in the Word of God. And then it says praying in the Holy Ghost. And we know we need the Holy Ghost to be our intercessor from Romans chapter 8, verse 26, because we don't know how we ought to pray. But He knows the mind of God, according He is God. Amen? And then the third thing is, in verse 21, it says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. And I think that obviously is about our focus and about us thinking about what God in Christ has done for us on the cross. As that stays more in tune, certainly that helps us keep our focus there on the love of God. And then because He loved us, then we love Him. Right? And then because He loves others, we will as well. And then looking for mercy. Look what it says. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So looking for the return of the Lord Jesus. These are things that we've covered last week about our part, okay? Building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now let's focus on what God requires of us regarding others. We're going to really dig in on this, but we're just going to read these two verses here. We'll come back to them. But it says, verse 22, And of some have compassion, making a difference. What do we learn from Brother Roger about making a difference? If you want to make a difference, you have to be different. That's right. You have to be different. So that's number one. And then look at the second thing. It says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That pulling, that seems like that's work, Brother Dwayne. It doesn't seem like they don't jump out of the fire, right? You got to pull them out of the fire. And there's some work that needs to be done. And we're supposed to be involved in that work. And thank God for that. But let's look. Let's come back to that. Let's just finish these last couple of verses here about God's part. Amen? Let's look at that. It says in verse 24, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." Let's focus on God is able. Y'all agree with that? Amen? Well, look what He's able to do. There it tells us that He's able to keep you from falling. Now, go back to 2 Peter with me, just a few books back. We looked at this a while back, but you remember in verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10 of 2 Peter, it says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall." Amen? And so we're like, what do we not fall from? Well, look over in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 17. Brother Roger, help me with this. And look at this verse 17. It says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also be led away from with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness." So what is God able to keep us? Well, He's able to keep us eternally secure. Y'all agree with that? But He's also able to keep us in fellowship. Amen? And so we need both. Amen? He's not only able to do that, but turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for a minute. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This will be really relevant here in our the latter part of this lesson, but 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." You know what? God's able to also perform in you what He calls you to. In you and through you. He's able. God is able, but God's not only able, He's also the enabler. Amen. Thank God He enables us to be able to do the things that He calls us to do. I thank God for that. He also said, and we're going back to Jude now, and He also said that He is able to present us faultless. Amen. And the only reason that we can be presented faultless is because we're in Him. He is completely sinless. It's His righteousness that is on judgment before God for the believer. Do you understand? It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is judged for the believer, okay? So our sin debt is in Him. We have His righteousness. He took on our sin, that imputation. That's an amazing reality, amen? And so Ephesians tells us about that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, about us being in Him, that we can be blameless, okay? So we're going to look at this verse a little bit later, so I'm going to save that for then. But let's talk about the last thing it says there. It says joy. He's able not only to keep us from falling, not only to present us faultless before the presence of His glory, but with exceeding joy, amen? So this is something that we need to focus on a little bit more. Would y'all agree with that? I thought about Hebrews chapter 13. Turn with me over there. Hebrews chapter 13. This is a Bible study, so you're going to use your Bibles this morning. Hebrews 13, verse 17. I'd like for you to see this written in the Word of God. It helps me. Look at what it says in verse 17 here of Hebrews 13. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So there is a time coming where we'll have to present before God. And when that happens, thankfully, because we are in Christ, if we've been saved, if we've been born again, that we'll be able to be presented faultless before His throne. And because of Him working in us and us submitting and obeying the Bible, submitting ourselves to the people, the leaders, the pastor and teachers that God has put over us, it'll be joyful for them and it'll be joyful for us. It'll be profitable for us, and it'll be a joy to Brother Roger and to other preachers and pastors that have led us in our spiritual walk. Man, what a blessing that'll be. But the key is, as we submit ourselves and we obey them, amen, because they're speaking for God. If you can exercise some faith this morning when the man of God gets up to preach the Word of God, can you believe that God gave him that message and that he gave it to him for your sake, that he plans, that he wants to use him to speak to you this morning? If you can, then when you stand before him on that day, it'll be a joyous and profitable day. Amen. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I can believe by faith that God can speak through a man. He can call a man, enable a man, and then speak to him, through to him, and then through him to help me. I can believe that by faith. Look at the last verse here, verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So verse 25, I like to focus on that word only. We know He's the only God. Amen. There's only one God. It's the true God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Father of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, the Godhead, the Trinity Godhead. That is the only true God, but He's also only wise. You know, the Bible says we need to cease from our own wisdom. Y'all remember that in Proverbs chapter 3? Amen. If we want to get God to direct our steps, we're going to have to trust Him, and then we're going to have to quit trusting ourselves. That's the key. Trust God and quit trusting yourself. Amen. Because God then can direct our steps. He promised, matter of fact, that He would do that. So He's only wise. I thought about what 1 Timothy 1:17 says, you know, now unto the only wise God. Okay? Immortal, invisible, right? Amen. That's the God we're talking about. He has all power and honor and glory unto Him. And that's the way it finishes here. It says, glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. When you see that word dominion, you know this is also a prophetic verse. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, He's always had all power. Amen. God has never lacked power. He's omnipotent. He has all the power. Amen. He distributes it as He sees fit, but He has it all. And then, but we see that dominion, see, now He has rule, but He does not rule here on the earth in this time. You agree with that? I asked the young people on Wednesday night about that. And, you know, and some of them said, yeah, God rules. I said, well, if God ruled, we wouldn't be dealing with abortion. Wouldn't be an issue about same-sex marriage, okay? We'd be totally clear about that, amen? We know what's right and wrong. So God doesn't, Lord Jesus Christ will rule upon the face of the earth. And that this is talking about that there's going to come a time when He will have dominion and power now as well as ever, amen? So with that thought in mind, let's focus in on verse 22 and 23. Again, reading those. And it says, and some have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I want to talk to you about evangelism for a minute. And maybe for the next few weeks even, we'll focus on this a little bit until Brother Terry comes up again. But let me ask you something. What is our goal? Do y'all think it's important to know what the end result you're desiring is before you start out? Isn't that pretty wise, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not good to just get in the vehicle and start driving and then try to figure out where you're going. Now, I find out then, like the other day, I did that, jumped in there, thought I knew where I was going. Man, Rhonda and I said, well, hey, just go ahead and map that thing and let's see. And she said, oh, yeah, I want you to U-turn. I said, okay. Yeah, that's the way it generally goes when we just start out somewhere without the end in mind. You know, we end up going the wrong direction, taking what we called a shortcut. Y'all know about those shortcuts, right? I tell them I'm taking the scenic route. You know, I like to see more scenery. But generally, I end up going longer. But we need to know what our goal is. So what is the goal, okay? Number two, what is our duty? We'll focus on those two things today. And then we'll get into next week what holds us back, okay, regarding evangelism. But let's focus on what is our goal. What is the reason that you exist? Can anybody tell me? And give me verse for it. My wife's up here mouthing something. To glorify God. Hey, brother. Yes, sir. Yes, it does. That's a good verse right there at the end of that. Amen. I always come back to Revelation 4:11. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, for thou hast created all things, and they are and were created for thy pleasure. The reason we were created was to please God. So then, therefore, that kind of simplifies our goal, wouldn't you say? So whatever, Jesus Christ was very was very plain that he said, I do always those things that please my Father. See, that was his, that was the thing. He knew what his goal was. He knew why he was here. He was here to please the Father. So when we get into this, we need to know that, okay? And then, that's why we exist, but why did God save us? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. So God created us for his pleasure. He saved us. Look at what it says here in verse 4, Ephesians chapter 1. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him, that's a blessing, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We just talked about that, and that's why I told you that verse before and read it now, without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Praise the Lord. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Sounds like he saved us to please him also. But also, he even added on to that. He said that we'd be holy and without blame in love before him, and that it was his pleasure, but it was also his will to do so, and that we would have that grace that we need for life. This is the reason that God saved us. And with that in mind, that helps us realize, okay, so what is the goal when we go into evangelism? What's the goal? It's no different. What is it tomorrow when you get up and go to work? What is it right now when you're sitting there and I'm up here? It's no different. That's why we were created. That's why we're saved. We're saved to please our Father and to glorify Him. And sometimes we think that there's this some kind of amazing accomplishment that's going to determine whether we're successful or not. What you're going to see is that that's not determined upon us. What we're supposed to do is stay focused on the goal, which is pleasing our Father. And we know that we can please Him by obeying Him. Because if we obey Him, that means, Brother Dwayne, we love Him. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Right? So we complicate this thing quite a bit, and that's a shame. And let me tell you why this happens, okay? So, let me just share this thought first, okay, about our duty. So we saw our goal. We exist to please God, okay, and to glorify His name and to be holy and blameless before Him in love. But our duty, okay, is it soul winning, okay, because we get that from Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, he that winneth souls is wise, right? Great verse. But is that the goal? Or is it how Jesus Christ was described in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5? He was described as the faithful witness. So what is our goal? Because if we don't understand our goal, then how will we know if we've been successful or not? If we say that soul winning is our goal, and then if we look at our results, then we might end up we will most definitely end up disappointed. Brother Brock.
Well, let me ask you something. After we're saved, our goal is to promote the gospel.
Yes. Yes, sir. I'm going to get to you. You're always one step ahead of me, Brother Brock. You are so. He is right on line with what he said. You hear what he said? That our goal is to promote the gospel, to make much of Jesus, to glorify him by telling the gospel, right? So that's how we please Him, but we can't produce the fruit. We can't make the result happen. All we can do is be faithful to God. We have a commission, you say, but I say we have more than a commission. We actually have a commandment Okay? A commission, you know, might be rejected, but a commandment, I mean, your master commands, that can't be rejected if he's your master. It's like, don't be like Peter. You know, Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Well, that's an oxymoron. You can't say no to your Lord or he's no longer Lord. Am I right? You see? So my question is, do we have the right focus going into this? So let's look at these two places in the gospel. Let's go to Mark 16 first. Let's look at Mark 16. Because if you look at the Lord Jesus' ministry, when he walked upon the face of the earth, anybody ever read that extremely sad verse there in John chapter 6, verse 66? And from that point, many went away from him and walked with him no more. Many. And why was it? Because he was preaching the truth. He was preaching the gospel. And many rejected it and rejected him and didn't go with him anymore. Was he a failure as a soul winner? Well, he certainly wasn't a failure as pleasing his Father and being a faithful witness, which is what pleased his Father. If he always did the things that pleased his Father, so it was pleasing to him that day when many walked away from him just because he did what he was sent to do. Tell the truth. Tell what he knew about his Father. It was a hard saying, Brother Trevor, and that's why they left him. And you know what? If you and I are faithful witnesses, some people will reject the gospel and they'll reject us sometimes too. And especially the more that we try to present the truth and try to follow, you know, try to press the issue some. And so let's look at Mark 16. Here's one of our commandments. Let's look at what it says in verse 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," as Brother Brock said, "to every creature." Everywhere, every place. As Brother Gerald Sutek said, don't be a secret disciple. You know, that's the problem. I realize I've been a secret disciple a lot of times in a lot of places. I had the Holy Ghost in me, I had the Word of God in me, and nobody knew it. That's not good. Verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, if we go to Matthew chapter 28, go back to the left there a little bit, in Matthew 28, we'll get Matthew's rendition here of the commandment. Look what it says in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Thank God for that. Therefore, here's our duty. This is our commandment. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." There's actually two commandments there. One was to go and preach, and the other was to teach. So there's supposed to be some people that actually respond to our witness, and they get saved, and then we're supposed to teach them to obey. Right? It's discipleship. So there's two sides here. And certainly, we want to be involved in every opportunity that we can here. But you notice here that these guys obeyed in their day. Now, we don't have the same power, the same office, the same thing they have, but we still have the same commandment to go and to preach and to teach. And that's not just for preachers and teachers. That's for everyone. That's all of us. Can we agree to that? That is our duty. Amen? And, you know, as I said, we can't produce the fruit, but I do know this, that if we will be faithful to witness and do it consistently and do it enough, long enough, and we get good enough at it, guess what? People will get saved. You understand? I heard, I did this evangelism course years ago, and wow, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good lesson. We're still not even at 10 o'clock yet. This is perfect. We got plenty of time. We're going to finish. I'm in trouble. Somebody tell me what time it is when it's time to go. But I did this class, and they said 1 in 7 that you basically witness to and get to the point where you can actually get the Bible out and read a Bible verse with them, about 1 in 7 on average, are ready to be saved. So that means most of the time they're not. And I don't know if I've found that to be true. I don't know if I've pressed it enough to get to that point as often as I should have. But I'll tell you this. Some people I've already been witness to, okay? They're not strangers to the gospel. They're just rebels right now. They're not ignorant. A person that's ignorant, obviously not going to get saved that first day, right? I mean, you may be just laying the first brick, laying the first foundation here, the first stone. But somebody's got to start it, amen? But here's what I want you to focus on, okay, is that God is God always working or is God always working? Yes and yes, right? Amen. Jesus said, hitherto my Father works, and so do I. Basically, in John 5:17, I said, hitherto, what exactly does that mean? It means every time till now. And it also means in any time. So every time till now, when Jesus spoke that, his Father had been working. Amen? And Jesus said, and so do I, okay? So do you think God has changed in any way, or is he still working? At any time, he's still working. Amen? And so you're not going out and thinking that you're starting something. Amen? If we get to focus on the work that God is doing, this may help us. So who is it that convicts people of sin and convinces them they're a sinner? Turn to John chapter 16. Who do you think does that work? Is that your job? That's the Spirit of God, right? Look at verse 7 here in John 16. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And look at what he's going to do. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit does the work. Now, here's what he doesn't do. He doesn't open my mouth. I have to actually open my own mouth. Amen? And he doesn't allow angels to present the gospel, the word of God, the law of God, so that a man might see the trouble he's in. He gives that responsibility to me. That treasure has been put in an earthen vessel. That's us. Okay? And so, but we see that the Holy Spirit is the one that actually convicts. It's not us. We're just to be faithful. Amen? And we see, let's go to 2 Corinthians here. We're going to, again, go through our Bible a little bit together. I don't have any idea what time it is. What time is it, Rhonda? 10:31. Perfect. 10:31. All right. Okay, so we're in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 4. Look at this verse. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Y'all agree with that, right? Amen. They're lost. It says, in whom the God of this world, y'all know who that is, that's Satan, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Look at this, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. What's our responsibility? To preach the Lord Jesus Christ. They're blinded, they can't see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, and so who's going to turn the lights on? Not us, it's going to be God himself. He'll turn the lights on through his word and through our faithful witness. So God is who convicts, the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, and also God the Father draws all men. According to John 6, verse 44, Jesus said that no man comes to the Father unless my Father draw them. You see, no man can come to the Father unless he draw them. You know, and you can see where some of the principles that you're going to talk about, Brother Terry, with Calvinism, we have a lot of things that we agree on. Sovereignty of God. We agree that God initiates, right? That God begins the work. What we don't agree on is that a man has to make a decision. And it's not predetermined from before the foundation of the world what his decision is, okay? Although it's foreknown, it's not predetermined, amen? That man has a choice. He has an option, see? And so God draws, God convicts, and ultimately God saves. We have the work of the Holy Spirit, we have the work of the Father, and we have the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as our propitiation for sin. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do y'all believe that verse is true? Absolutely. Well, then if that verse is true, then that means also verse 14 is true, and they're in context with each other. Look at this. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You understand? They can't call Brother Terry until they've heard. And they can't hear until somebody's opened their mouth and preached. And then they have the choice to believe. And then if they believe, now they can call and be saved. Amen? You can't get it out of order. Somebody has to open their mouth and speak the Word of God. They have to hear it. Then they have to believe it. And then they can call. Amen? Nothing wrong with that verse. You just got to put it in context. That's a great verse. Amen? And so, do you believe... If you believe that God's working, God's always been working, how do you know if God is working? Well, the first way is by faith. If God said it, do you need any other proof? Do we? God said he's always working. Do we need anything else other than that? No, we don't. So by faith, we know he is working. We don't know all the ways he's working, but we know he's working. And then look in verse, the second thing, not only do we know it by faith, but we know it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. God is so good and so faithful to me. I'll tell you, I had about a couple months ago, I was thinking about getting a new boat. Okay, so I went and I looked, and I met this boat salesman at the dealership, and I sat down with him while he was taking information, whatever, and I had a pretty good witness with him about the Lord and about church and about me being saved and stuff. And but I didn't have a track on me. I was really disappointed. You know, I gave him information, told him the church name and stuff like that. And so I said, Lord, when he calls me back to give me that information, I'm going to, I'm going to be more faithful. I'm going to give him more information. I want to press this issue further because the Lord already told me you weren't done there. Okay, well, guess what? He never called me back. I said, well, he's not a very good salesman, okay, but he does need the Lord, okay. But so I go in that dealership yesterday, a couple of days ago. Rhonda and I go in there. I was going to look at a different boat, and I was talking to someone else, and then he saw me, and he recognized me. And I said, man, Cole, I'm glad I saw you. I need to give you something. The Lord asked me to give you this, and now I got a track on me, thank God. And I gave him the track. But the point is that the Lord, he'll work. He'll trouble you. You know he's working when he's dealing with your heart about something. Amen? Have you ever been in that situation where you know the Lord, he wanted you to do something? And sometimes we just miss it. I hate that, man. I just miss it, brother. One day I was in there, I went into the dry cleaners there in Cleveland, you know, and picked up my dry cleaning. I'm walking out, and it's like, Lord, I should have gave that woman a track. I wish I would have had a track on me. I could have gave her a track. And the Lord said, well, you got some in your truck, don't you? I said, well, yeah, I do, actually, Lord. So I hung up my dry cleaning, got my track out, walked back across the street, went in there and said, the Lord wanted me to give this to you. Sometimes we don't miss it. We delay the process, but don't give up. I mean, the Lord is so good, he'll give you another opportunity. Amen? So you just got to humble ourselves, right? You just got to humble ourselves and say, yes, sir, brother. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Mike. Yeah. He did. You know, Brother Mike, you're just like Brother Brock. You're always just one step ahead of me. It's so good. I love it. I was going to share that because, you know, this is, you know how we said like 1 in 7 and sometimes it just happens? Well, that's what that one guy that was teaching that evangelism course said. Anyway, I don't know if that's true or not. But there are people that they already heard the gospel. But what he said actually was, and this will tell you, he said, he's just walking by and I'm shaking hands with people. And he said, pray for me that God will save me. He said, I'm ready to be saved. I said, hang on just a minute. Let me shake a few more hands. I said, come over here. And now let's look at this together. He's like, and he was just confused. I said, well, let me now, here's what the Bible says. And I just took him through that. And I took him over there to also Ephesians chapter 1, where it said that, you know, first you have to hear, and then you have to believe, and then if you believe, then you're sealed, right? And so I said, look, you heard the gospel tonight. We preached the gospel. Do you believe it with all your heart? Are you willing to repent of your sin? Yes, he was, and you're right. He got saved that night. He was back in Bible study this past week as well. So with a big smile on his face, what a blessing that was, you know. And so the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we know that also confirms God's working. And then sometimes people say something that you know God is working. Anybody that says anything about the Bible, about church, about God, they don't come up with that stuff on their own, amen? It's like Samuel, he said, like, sometimes God just gives you a layup, you know what I mean? Just right at the rim, and he just alley-oops, and you just got to dunk it, you know what I'm saying? And he said that somebody, didn't they come up to you and said something about the Bible, and they wanted to, God just started a Bible study out of nothing at Samuel's school, just because somebody come up and ask him a question, and then they're having a weekly Bible study with, like, 8-9 people, and couple of teachers showing up. And that's something. That's like, one of the teachers came in and said, saw him doing it. And he said, y'all do this every week? And he's like, yeah. He goes, well, I'll be here next week. And sure enough, you know, he's like, okay. You know, you never know what God's doing until you actually get out there, open our mouth and see. But sometimes you got to be like a bird dog, you know, a pointer. You got to hear something, man. Somebody says something about God, we ought to go, our radar. God's working right there. Let's find out what he's doing and let's get involved in it. Amen. That's what Blackaby taught us. Remember Brother Dwayne from that study of experiencing God? Man, when I was a young Christian coming up, that helped me a lot. Just understanding that God initiates and he's always working. Look for what he's doing and then just get involved in it. It's like Samuel says, it's a layup. You know, once you see God doing something, just say, okay, yeah, let's do that. Let's get involved in that. See what God's going to do. It's all about him. Amen. But here's the other thing. And this is, you don't have to wait until somebody says something. You may be the beginning. You may be just the opportunity. I was in Lowe's, I guess, Friday, and I'm back there trying to get some wasp spray. My wife's upset I'm trying to kill the wasp, but you know, tired of them stinging me and my grandkids, so any more me than grandkids. But I'm at the aisle there, you know, where they got the wasp spray, and there's a lady over here beside me, and she's getting some rat killer, okay, and or something. She goes, I live beside a hay pasture. And Brother Oakley, you know what happens when you cut hay? Them rats go scurrying, don't they? And she says, they run over to my place. And she said, I got to find a way to protect me from those rats and move. I don't want them moving in. I said, well, ma'am, I said, I gave her a track and I said, this is something to protect you from the wrath of God. And I gave her a track and I left her there to think about that. Amen. I realized when we went witnessing last time that when I would go around and I would ask them about coming to church, that a lot of people that didn't have the outcome that I hoped. So what I started asking them, and I said, are you ready for judgment day? Just want to make sure you're ready to be, you know, to meet God and be judged by God. And I realized that I got better responses. I'm not saying that I got conversations going, but I didn't get, when I left, I said, oh man, I didn't make any headway with that person. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just walk off and you're like, they blew you off. They don't want nothing to do with church, or, hey, I'm already whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I just want to know if you're ready to meet God. We're just out here today to make sure you're ready for the judgment seat. You know what I'm saying? Are you ready for that? And Leave them a track. That's all you can do, guys, okay? I mean, that's at least all I can do at this point. Next week, we're going to look at more why we don't do it. And for homework assignment, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. But don't just look at verse 7. Look at verses 6 and 8 also and put it in context, okay? Because that helped me when I actually started looking at that in context. And then we'll get into that next week. But just as a summary, let me give you these few points and we'll be done. Number one, don't let the world determine the goal or we'll always be disappointed. Okay? Number two, remember it is God who brings success and God that defines it. Amen? Okay, number three, God is always working in you and through you. You understand that sometimes the work that God's doing, we're looking for it on the outside and God's doing it on the inside. Amen? It might be good sometimes if we got a little rejection. Wouldn't that be a blessing if we persevere just a little bit of affliction? It might make us feel, man, kind of straighten our back up a little bit, you know, stand a little taller. That's what those disciples did over there at the beginning of the book of Acts. You remember there in Acts 4 where... Man, they went away rejoicing because they got beat up for the Lord. I said, man, I don't think that's going to happen to us, by the way. But I'm just saying, even if we just got a bad look or we got an unfavorable response in any way, it might be good for us because He's working in us, not just through us, but also He's working through us. And then the fourth thing, the last thing, is that remember, God deserves all the glory. He deserves the glory from our lives, and you know what? He deserves the glory from that lost person you're talking to as well. This ain't about him as much as it is about him. See, he deserves the glory from that life that he created. He created that life to please him and to get the glory from it. And he might want to use us to bring them into his family so he can get it. Amen? You never know what God's going to do. So, as we head down this road, guys, I hope that you don't in any way think that I'm the example. I fail. I am not a good and faithful witness like I want to be at all. But I'm trying to get better at it and be more faithful. Amen. And try to press a little bit more. And so when we leave tonight, let's wipe out those tracks back there. Let's get all of those wiped out. Make Brother Green fill them back up. And let's go distribute them before next week and see what God does. We'll share results, good and bad. Amen. And you know what, by the way, Brother Mike shared this at prison. A man saw his witness he had on his hat. He had John 3:16 on his hat, right? And a guy said, you know, basically he was anti-God. And really, he's bitter, and he was just a bitter rebel, okay? So he just started giving Brother Mike what for, telling Brother Mike how dumb and stupid he was to believe in God and do all this stuff. And he said, you know, I know the Bible. I know John 3:16. He said, I know the Hebrew. Didn't he say, I know the Hebrew language? I said, well, evidently he didn't know that the New Testament was written in Greek. But anyway, besides that, I'm sure he's very intelligent. But the point was, see, when that happens, let me tell you, I've seen this in Rhonda's family. Sometimes that person that's giving you the most grief, they're the ones God's dealing with. And they're resisting. And they might be the closest one to getting saved. They might be just, they're going to, eventually God's going to put that pressure on tight enough, they're going to surrender. Just never know. Sometimes I've seen that happen. So, last thing I'm going to share with you, I'm probably over time. I'll blame it on the clock, okay? My wife confirmed. Okay, last thing, I'm going to share this quick. This is from our missionary, Brother Muldoon, and his wife, and this is a message that he got, okay? From someone. It says, "Hello, Will and Trina. I want to thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord and ministering to myself and his wife in Phoenix while you were here in 1983. You both shared the gospel. You brought us food and you prayed with our daughter yet to be born. My pastor today mentioned to remember those who have had great impacts on their life." And so he sent them a note to thank them for that. And so he had another one from Facebook where they said the same thing. And here was his summary. Give the track, share the testimony, write the scripture verse and birthday cards, talk about the goodness of God, keep praying because God is still mighty to save. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord, to us. pray, God, you might get all the glory that you deserve from us and Lord, through us. And pray that we'd be obedient to the Word of God today. Bless our pastor as he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen.